Isaiah 61, if you want to turn in your Bibles this evening, Isaiah 61. Beautiful passage, an exciting passage, prophetic passage about Jesus Christ and His ministry. Notice beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." So we're going to look tonight at "The Lord hath anointed me." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for this passage and for the opportunity to open it together and hear from You. We pray that each of our hearts would be open to Your Word and that You would speak to us, and Jesus Christ, our Savior, would be magnified in this time. And so we give You this service and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus Christ actually quoted this passage in the New Testament in the synagogue, which we'll look at here in a little while. But this is obviously a prophecy about Jesus and His ministry. And He starts off by saying there in verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Now, if you go to John chapter 1, sure enough, we'll see that the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry was marked by the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and lighting upon the Lord Jesus Christ at His baptism. John chapter 1, look at verse 32. And so this prophecy here in Isaiah 61 is of that event where God the Holy Spirit came down and anointed God the Son. Notice John chapter 1, verse 32. "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon Him." So the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me." If you go to Acts chapter 10, sure enough, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was anointed by God to fulfill the ministry that God sent Him to carry out. Notice Acts chapter 10, verse 38, where the Bible tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So here we see that surely enough, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God came upon Him. He was anointed to fulfill the ministry, the preaching ministry that God gave Him, and the healing ministry. And then the passage we saw in Isaiah 61, He says, to preach good tidings. Jesus Christ came to preach good tidings. And sure enough, He did. He told us in John 8, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus Christ came to free us. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's good news, that Jesus came to save, that Jesus came to rescue us from our condition. Even at the beginning of His ministry, the Bible says in John chapter 1, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So He came to rescue us, He came to save us, He came to take away our sin. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:6-15, "This is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." So He came to bring good tidings, as it told us there in Isaiah 61, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Jesus came to rescue us, hallelujah, from our sin. And that's really revealed in Revelation 5, if you turn there. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Now this is the song being sung in heaven by the 24 elders who are representative of the church who will be with Jesus after the rapture here in Revelation 5. Part of that song, look what it says, Revelation 5, 9. It says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain," so we know who they're talking about, "and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who came. in answer to Isaiah 61, in fulfillment of Isaiah 61, who the Lord God anointed with the Holy Spirit to come to preach liberty and victory to us. And you know, that's what we're supposed to do now. Preach good tidings. The Bible says in Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of them which bring glad tidings of good things. That's us. That's God quoting the Old Testament about us. It says, of them who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. We're here to bring glad tidings. We're here. It's good news when you tell somebody, listen, you're a sinner and going to hell, but Jesus paid for your sin and rose again and offers you eternal life as a gift. That's good news. And we're here to proclaim that good news. But Jesus Christ was the first one. He came to start it all, to proclaim the good tidings that he was here to rescue man from his sin condition. And if you go back to Isaiah 61 and verse 2, it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus Christ came to proclaim the good news. Now, this is really important. Jesus, probably more than in any other place, when he stood up and preached this passage in the book of Luke chapter 4, which we'll look at in a moment, Jesus stood up, he quoted Isaiah 61, he read all the way through verse 1, he read to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and that comma after the word Lord is a very critical comma. If it's okay with yourself to write in your Bible, you should circle that comma. Because that's a dispensational comma. Say, wow, it's a big deal comma. It is. Because Jesus read to that comma when he stood up in the synagogue, and you know what he did? He only read to right there and he stopped and sat down. Now remember, the numbers that are in our King James Bible were added later. They make it easier for us to find scriptures. But there weren't numbers back when Jesus read out of the Old Testament in the synagogue. But this is where he chose to stop. He only read up to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He stopped and he sat down. Why? Because, let's go to Luke 4 now and we'll see. It's because he only read up until what he was going to fulfill at his first visit to the earth. The rest of it, as you'll see, was for later, for his second visit to the earth, which is yet to come. And that's why he stopped at that comma. Notice Luke chapter 4, look at verse 16 of Luke chapter 4. And this is where Jesus takes this passage and makes it alive here in Isaiah 61. Notice Luke 4:16. The Bible says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Stop. That's the comma in Isaiah 61:2. And notice it says, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. Now the Jews were familiar with this passage. They'd had it for centuries. But they'd never had anybody say what Jesus is about to say. Look what he said. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Wow. Gives you goosebumps. Can you imagine sitting there in the synagogue and Jesus stands up and reads out of Isaiah and says, this is fulfilled now in me. God's word is being fulfilled in your before your very eyes. That's what Jesus was saying. That this prophecy was about me, Jesus was saying. I came to fulfill these prophecies, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives, to give sight to the blind, to rescue them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Stop, sit down. The Bible says
they all wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" So why did Jesus stop at the comma? Well, let's go back to it and look at it, Isaiah 61:2. He stopped at the comma because it's a dispensational comma, because the rest of the passage is yet in the future. And Jesus did this 2,000 years ago when he stood up in the synagogue and read and said, "This is fulfilled in your ears." You know why he didn't go past that comma? Because the rest of it wasn't being fulfilled in their ears. Look at the next phrase. "And the day of vengeance." Now, we've been studying prophecies in Sunday school. We went through the book of Revelation. And what we've discovered is the day of vengeance is referring to the tribulation period. It is a 7-year day of the Lord. And it is a time of God pouring out His wrath upon this earth in vengeance. Well, Jesus didn't read that part because the day of vengeance hasn't come yet. Now, it will be fulfilled and Jesus Christ will be involved in pouring out vengeance. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and we'll see that. But it's in the future. And if Jesus would have kept reading this passage and then said, "This day is fulfilled in your ears, this day this is fulfilled in your ears," then the people would have been like, "Well, where's the vengeance?" Jesus didn't come the first time to bring vengeance. He came the first time to bring deliverance. Amen? To rescue us. To die for us. To rise again for us. But when He comes the second time, He's not coming as a babe in a manger. He's coming as a conquering king with a two-edged sword to execute vengeance. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us," verse 7, "when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking" what? "Vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." That's Jesus. So yes, He will fulfill the rest of the passage, this prophetic passage about Jesus Christ. But when He stood up in the synagogue, the vengeance part was yet in the future. It's coming. Jesus is going to execute vengeance on His enemies. And it's going to take place when He returns to the earth. Not the rapture. That's 7 years before. But at the end of the day of the Lord, if you go to Revelation 19, at the end of the day of the Lord, when Jesus Christ returns on His white horse and we return with Him, He is coming. This time He's not coming to rescue. This time He's not coming to be meek and lowly in heart. This time He's coming to conquer. Notice Revelation 19 and verse 11. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He doth" what? "Judge and make war." That's a lot different than the first time, isn't it? Verse 12. "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God." So it's Jesus. "And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses," that's us, "clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations." There's the vengeance being poured out by Jesus Christ. And it says, "And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." A lot different than the first time when He came to preach deliverance to the captives and giving of sight to the blind. Now He's coming back to execute what? The wrath of Almighty God. "And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Jesus Christ is going to fulfill the rest of Isaiah 61, the beautiful prophetic passage about His ministry. But the comma separated at least 2,000 years. It could be 3,000 or 4,000. We don't know. It could be tomorrow it's over. But the comma separated what's called the church. So really that little comma is the church. Think about that. This mystery time that the Old Testament saints didn't know about. Paul told us that multiple times. He said it was a complete mystery to Old Testament saints, this thing called the body of Christ or the church, where we would be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the age of grace, all a mystery. And that whole mysterious dispensation called the church is that comma. Because he read up to there where he was going to preach deliverance, which he did. He stopped. What comes next? The day of vengeance. After the church. One was before and one was after. So go back to our passage and we'll see that that's not the end of it, praise God. That it doesn't end with wrath. It actually ends with blessing. Because it goes on to say, verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Yes, for 7 years, God is going to pour out vengeance and wrath upon this earth. He's primarily disciplining his children, the children of Israel. But when that is finished, those who survive that time will be allowed to go into the kingdom and will be given a new heart. It's called the New Covenant. It's in Jeremiah chapter 31. And they become the people of God again. And Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem, from the throne of David. So first comes the vengeance. Then look at verse 4. Then comes the rebuilt kingdom. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Israel has always looked back to the Temple of Solomon, because that is when Israel was at its peak as a nation. People were coming from all over the world to see Solomon and ask him questions. Israel was a great and powerful nation under David and then Solomon. And of course, Solomon then fell into sin and Israel followed him. And you know what happened? They split and then they were never the same. But they've always looked back to that time and always wondered, will they ever get that glory back? Because God made so many promises about the kingdom that they would get it back one day. And they've always looked back. Well, that's what it's talking about. They're going to raise up the former desolations. The temple will be rebuilt. It will be reestablished in Jerusalem. They're going to repair the waste cities. And it says the desolation of many generations. Wow. You realize that the time of Solomon is now 3,000 years ago? Wow. That's a long time. 3,000 years. That's a lot of generations. But what comes next? Look at Isaiah 11. It just kind of summarizes it for us. So, Jesus said, I am the fulfillment. I'm the preacher. I'm the one that's come to rescue people. I'm the one that's come to save people, to rescue them from their sin. I also will be the one to execute vengeance, but that's in the future, so I'm not going to read that part. I'm also the one that's going to rebuild Jerusalem and give them their kingdom back, but that's in the future. And that's talked about here in Isaiah chapter 11. Notice verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. There he is again. And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. So we've already read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Revelation chapter 19, Jesus executing vengeance. Look what it says next. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's going to be amazing The earth's going to be restored like it was in the Garden of Eden. Animals are all going to be vegetarians, maybe people too, I don't know. And there'll be no dangerous animals. I'm sure there'll be no blackberries, praise God. And it's just going to be an amazing time. Man's going to live a long time again. Jesus is going to restore it all. So He is the one of Isaiah 61. Go back there and we'll close. Who, verse 1, was anointed by God, by the Spirit, to what? Verse 1, preach good tidings, to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, to open the prison, them to their bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus has already done that. He came to preach the good news of His death and His resurrection, and He did that. He came to preach for us. Then in verse 2, He in the future will come and execute the day of vengeance upon this earth, upon His people Israel. And then when that's finished, verse 4, He will build up the old wastes and raise up the former desolations and repair the waste cities. Israel will get their glory back. And we get to be there. As you saw in Revelation 19, when Jesus comes back on that white horse, we're on white horses too. I've had kids ask me before, are there any animals in heaven? I know there's definitely white horses in heaven. That's the only thing I can say. I don't know any after that. But if millions of Christians are coming back with Jesus and we're all on white horses, then there's definitely white horses in heaven. But we get to come back and we get to enjoy what we just read there in Isaiah 11 and watch Jesus rebuild this earth back to its glory like the Garden of Eden and rebuild Israel back to its glory like it was under Solomon. The temple restored, Israel being God's precious people again. Jesus Christ, the one that was anointed by God, the one that is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Some of you might have in your Bible in Isaiah 61 little stars by verses. Those are not inspired, but some Bibles put stars by verses that are prophetic of Jesus Christ. Mine does. And it actually has stars by those verses saying that those are prophetic of Christ. But you don't need a star to know that. You just have to read it. Jesus Christ is the one that was anointed, the one that is the fulfillment of this passage, and the one that even stood up in the synagogue and said, this day, this is fulfilled in your ears. The people were amazed. They didn't know what to say. You mean you're the one that's the fulfillment of that prophecy that we've been reading for hundreds of years? Yep, this day. Amazing. One day we'll be able to stand with Jesus in heaven and He'll say, I'm the fulfillment of all the Scripture. And we'll just praise Him. Amen?